This show furnished by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
Who am I? I'm an acute care physician at MD, here live and local every Saturday, noon to 1, keeping you healthy without the dreaded copay. Don't need an appointment, don't even need insurance. And I've more experience in treating real-life patients from hemorrhoids to heart attacks than Dr. Google himself. 800-222-5222 is the number to call if you want to chat, you want to comment on the show, you have a medical question. 800-222-5222. Now, this week, the federal government, the feds, in the form of the CDC, started doctoring. They got into the doctoring business. Now, generally speaking, I don't like the government. I don't like the feds in my bedroom, and I definitely don't like them in my office telling me what I can and can't do. But this week, they came into the medical offices all over the nation and said, you doctors are treating pain wrong. You doctors are getting it all wrong, and you've got to stop. You have been naughty, and this is what you have been doing. You have been over-prescribing narcotics. You have been giving too many away. You have been treating pain as if it was going out of fashion. And what have they said? We want you to give no more than 3 days' supply of narcotics for pain, maximum 7 days, preferably three, and treat most pain with ibuprofen, which is generic for Advil or Motrin. And you go like, wow, wow. Now, why are they doing this? Why is it their business? Why do they care? Well, in 2014, we had 29,000 deaths from narcotics in the United States. We have tens of thousands of ER visits. We have zillions of overdoses, all because of prescription narcotics. All because of medicines that guys like me prescribe to people and patients like you. It's that something. So something had to be done. To put it in perspective, think of it this way. We Americans are 5% of the world's population, and we're using 80% of the narcotics that are manufactured. Really? When I saw that statistic, as a physician, as a prescriber of narcotics, I was embarrassed and ashamed. To explain how we got there and what you need to do to protect yourself, let's go back, say, a little over 100 years ago, when heroin was first introduced. The one sheet for heroin. Now, in case you don't know what a one sheet is, think of it as a movie poster. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was the world's number one box office king, famously said this. He wouldn't make a movie unless you could see the whole movie in the poster. People knew what they were getting and said to themselves, I can enjoy that. Well, the one sheet for heroin, when it was introduced in the 19th century, said this. The first opiate that is not addictive. The first one. Now, we look at this and we laugh. We just think, how dumb, how stupid was this? Well, we didn't learn a lot from that. It's awfully difficult to tell when somebody is in pain. They tell you, but how do you objectively say, yes, you have pain? When I used to work in ICU, we would look at patients, and if their heart rate went up, their blood pressure went up, we would assume they were uncomfortable. We would assume they were in pain, and we would assume that there's something that we need to do. Now, think about it. In an ICU setting, they have lots of machines on them. There's all kinds of pain. There's all kinds of going on. So they need some pain meds. Well, back in the 90s, some very clever people decided that we needed to have a war on pain, that we needed to get rid of pain for everybody, that nobody should ever feel any pain. In fact, they said it was the fifth vital sign. Now think about it. Traditionally, there were four vital signs, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your temperature, and your respiratory rate. Without one of those being where it should be, you were unhealthy or maybe even not here. They wanted to add a fifth one, which says that if doctors aren't treating your pain, they're negligent. It's malpractice. They need to be spanked. It was that simple. Now, most of this study came from a doctor called Portnoy. And he looked at a huge number of patients, all of 38. 38 patients. I kid you not. I'm not making this stuff up. 38 patients he studied. And he decided from that study that if you treat chronic pain, you will not create addicts. If you treat chronic pain, which is incurable, you will not create addicts. If you treat chronic pain with opiates, people will be okay. They will live happy lives, and they won't be in pain. Now, think about this. This is an easy sell to doctors. No doctor gets out of bed in the morning and say, hey, how can I make my patients suffer today? Nobody does that. You get out of bed and say, how can I help? Pretty much a phrase that every doctor uses when he sees a patient or she sees a patient. How can I help? What can I do for you today? What's the main symptom you have that I can help with? So naturally enough, if a patient says, I have lots of pain, you're going to treat it. Of course you are. Of course you're going to treat it. So this very quickly became a multi-billion dollar industry. Billions, that's what it be. Medicines like OxyContin, Oxy was the street name, Percocet, Perks, Vicodin, hydrocodone, tramadol, fentanyl, became household words. I bet most of you listening to me now have some of those drugs in your cabinet, in your bathroom at home. I bet most of you have some left over from whatever, left over from a dental issue, left over from surgery, left over from somewhere. And then you decide you're going to give it to them. Then you decide, I've got some body aches with my flu. Why would I take yucky little ibuprofen when I could take some Narco and not feel anything at all? Well, Dr. Portnoy got out there and pushed his research, and most people accepted it. Now, I was training back in the 90s, and I remember two events that were critical to my understanding of pain. And one of them was when I was in Ireland, I walked on to do the weekend coverage, and I heard somebody screaming, and I said, my God, what's going on? And they said, oh, doctor, that's Mrs. X. She's dying of ovarian cancer. She's got bone mets that spread to her bone, and she's in pain. I said, well, give her some pain meds. And they said, well, you know, and there was all a big stand back. So I wrote up aggressive pain management for that woman, only to discover the nurses didn't want to do it because they were afraid that they might push her towards death, that her breathing might be in jeopardy or whatever, that this woman was clearly dying. And obviously dying in agony. And that wasn't going to happen on my watch. No way. So I ended up giving her the meds myself over the weekend to make her comfortable. Flash forward a couple of years later, I'm training in Canada at the University of Alberta. And I admitted a woman with pyelonephritis, a kidney infection, a bad kidney infection, because most kidney infections don't require hospitalization. So we're treating that. And at rounds the next day, these communal rounds, they said to me, what did you treat her pain with? I said, oh, I gave her some ibuprofen, Advil to you. And they said, oh, that's wrong. You should have given her a narcotic. And I went like, why? I've never done it before. And there was a big to-do about it. And that's when this whole concept of the fifth vital sign, the war on pain, and that we've got to do it. Now, in the middle of this, I've got to mention to you, there was a book that I've read about this called A World of Hurt by Barry Meyer. His name is M-E-I-E-R. I actually interviewed him on my old show on KFWB. And he has a fascinating account if you want to understand how all of this came about, what happened with the fifth vital sign, and why guys like me were really kind of jumped on board a little bit. And we went, yeah, okay, we can do this. Now, when you're dealing with pain, we have to divide it into acute and chronic. You break your leg, you break your ankle, you break your wrist. That's pain, baby. You need something for that pain short term. But what about chronic pain? What about if you have back pain? What about if you have bad fibromyalgia? What then do you do? Because let me tell you, there is no cure for back pain. No cure for back pain. There's no cure for fibromyalgia. We can manage it. So what did Portnoy say? He said, give them opiates And it doesn't matter about the dose. You can keep going, keep going, keep going, higher and higher and higher doses. And we all went, wow. And quite a few of us got nervous about this. Quite a lot of us said, wow, these are very, very big doses. Because, you know, if you need 10 milligrams of oxy today, in a couple of months you need 20, then you need 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, just goes on and on and on. So then we developed pain specialists, people who would only manage chronic pain patients. And they were giving out massive doses. Then we found people were dying, crashing their cars, overdosing. And then prosecutors got in and said, hey, doc, you're giving too many medicines. You're not even examining the patients. And what do they do then? They start sending out secret shoppers to doctors' offices to see, did you examine them? To see, did you take the proper precautions? And they start fining some people. And they start charging people with manslaughter, saying, your fault, you gave too many drugs. I went like, wow. So this was scary. This was really scary. And I have to tell you that in the years that I've been in practice, which is over, 20 years now, this war on pain is the biggest mistake we in medicine have made. And I think that at the very least, I owe you an apology as one of the practitioners, because we have created so many addicts. We have created so many narcotized zombies who are not enjoying life, who are on massive doses of these opiates. And we did wrong. We did you wrong. But now we're starting to make amends. Now we're starting to understand what we should and what we shouldn't do. So here's the take-home message. There is no life without pain. There's always going to be pain. That's who we are as humans. And we in the medical profession, we can help you a little bit with pain. But you're going to be living with some of it. And if you have back pain, you have fibromyalgia, whatever it is that's chronic, migraines, we can't get rid of that for you. And using these narcotics, Norco, hydrocodone, fentanyl, whatever it is not a good idea for you. Now, if you're on these medicines and you're on big doses of them, you can't stop abruptly because then you go into withdrawal. That's crazy. And what's happened to us, sadly, is that some of the people that we've cut off, they've gone out into the street and got heroin, the substitute. This has happened all over America, in rural areas in Arkansas and Alabama, places that you wouldn't think would have a big heroin problem. But they do. They do. So you need to be aware, and you need to make a decision that a certain amount of pain you're going to have to live with. And the evidence, believe it or not, in chronic pain management now is that people who don't use opiates actually live qualitatively better lives than the people who do. Now, this is a big subject. I'm going to touch it again in other segments throughout the morning. But if you want to call in, you want to chat, you disagree with my approach, you have suggestions for chronic pain, you have suggestions for doctors who are over-prescribing narcotics or under-prescribing, 800-222-5222 is the number to call. That's 800-222-5222. When I come back, big case in Canada. Parents who were anti-vaccines had a baby with meningitis. They did not seek medical attention. And guess what? They are now being criminally charged and face 5 years in prison. Is this right? Are they guilty as charged? My opinion when I come back. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
More Dr. Chambers on Call after this.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-471-9807. That's 1-800-471-9807. 1-800-471-9807. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that, who would have guessed, melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, and in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain, to make not just surgery, radiation chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy as part of their therapy, and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Talk Radio 790.
AABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with your opinion or your medical question. Who am I? I'm an acute care physician here live and local every Saturday noon to 1, and I'm keeping you healthy without the dreaded copay. Think about this. No appointment necessary, no insurance necessary. You have a real live doctor here in the studio, and I treat acute care problems every day. Anything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. And I guarantee you this, I have more experience in treating patients like you than Dr. Google himself. This morning we're talking about opiates, and the feds are getting in there. The feds are saying, hey, docs, you're over-prescribing opiates. To which some doctors go like, are you kidding me? Well, Americans are 5% of the population, but yet 5% of the world population, but yet we're consuming 80% of the world's narcotics. As a result of this, we literally have tens of thousands of people dying of overdoses, many more going into the ER with overdoses. It's just, it's a disaster, folks. I'm going to talk to Dee. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
Go ahead. Do you have a question or you have a comment?
Well, I have a comment. As I told the gentleman that
sure.
answered the phone, I lost my daughter by a pill pusher. She was very depressed. We both had chronic fatigue, of course, mm-hmm. and which includes fibromyalgia. I myself have finally found an orthopedic doctor that has been treating me. I don't use any drugs at all.
Congratulations.
Because she died, and from he gave her over 100 pills within a 10-day period. So the problem is not just the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was in pain, and he gave her a lot of the pills that you mentioned, the Vicodin, some
sure.
of those very strong drugs.
Yeah.
And it's also that Rite Aid prescribed these pills and filled them out
yes.
without checking. They don't check. There's nothing about people checking to
yes.
see how many prescriptions have been written in the space of 10 days, which is enough to kill anybody. And
I understand that,
Dee. Because she was in pain.
Sure. Now, what I want everyone to understand, listening to understand this. Nowadays, we do have complex systems in place. There's a thing called CURES, C-U-R-E-S. It's an abbreviation. And basically, what happens is you come into my office, and you say, I want my back pain, my leg pain, my fibromyalgia. I need so many narco. I can log on, put your name and your date of birth in there, and I will see all the prescriptions that you've got recently. Now, that's assuming, of course, the pharmacies have entered them, but generally speaking, they do. So we do have those little cross-checks. Now, Dee, let me ask you one question. You said you're not taking pain medicines
no,
now.
No, I have found a doctor, and I do a whole slew of things. There are things like, for example, arnica,
yeah.
you know, which is a homeopathic thing.
Okay.
And my doctor, even though I have spondylosis, scoliosis,
sure.
degenerating discs, I've had every kind of test that there is. And because I don't want to be, because I'm sort of anti, you know, medicational,
yeah.
absolutely, you know, something
necessary yeah.
like you say, one ibuprofen, you know, if you have severe toothache or something.
Sure.
And he does a thing called PRI.
Which is?
And no surgery and, you know, no pills.
Great. What's PRI?
Them. Pierre, oh gosh.
That's okay.
It's a way of your body healing yourself.
Sure.
It's they take your blood mm-hmm. and they separate it from the plasma.
Yeah.
And they inject the plasma in trigger points. But this is done after you've had not only an X-ray, but after you've had an MRI and they know exactly where
what's
to locate it.
Okay.
And they put it into that area and it removes, you know, the pain.
Sure.
It doesn't. Like, it's not like all of a sudden I don't have degenerating discs.
Yes.
But literally my spondyl, and I tried chiropractors, I tried epidurals, I tried everything. And this is the only thing I found that it works for me because I have that combination, like you said, of things
yeah.
because of my chronic fatigue and, you know, the other things that go on.
Well, that's really great, Dee. I'm really happy that you found a way forward. Now, I'm not endorsing PRI. Before anybody gets up there, I'm not endorsing that. But what I am endorsing is what Dee has done. She's gone away from the narcotics after a tragedy in her family. Losing her daughter, that's terribly sad for anybody. Losing your daughter unnecessarily like this is awful. So if you have chronic pain, if you have a chronic issue, what I want you to understand is this. When we use these opiates, you end up becoming a narcotized zombie. The quality of your life will go down. You'll be just in this somnambulance. You'll just be feeling, you'll be sleepwalking. Your sex life will go down. You won't enjoy the beautiful morning walking on the beach, walking down the street, coffee with your family. You won't enjoy dinner with your family. The first thing you want when you get up is, where are my pills? Because just to feel, get to your baseline, just to feel okay, you got to take your pills. Now, I'm a caffeine addict. When I get up in the morning, I don't have my caffeine. I don't have my latte. I'm not happy. I'm not a happy guy. I got to go and get that. And if I don't get that for some reason in the morning, my whole day is off kilter. Multiply that by a billion is what people who are addicted to opiates really suffer every day. Let's talk to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on, Eric?
Well, I was injured 5 years ago in a workplace accident. And because of workman's comp, I wasn't even able to get an operation, which greatly reduced the pain. But I was up to 8 Oxycontin a day.
Wow.
And I quickly realized that I had to do something, and I started using medical marijuana.
Okay.
And because of, you know, because of the operation that I had, but also because I've also made some high-strength CBD oils and other abstracts of marijuana,
yeah.
I've been able to reduce my opiates by 50%. Now, I wish I could get completely off of them, but like today with the overcast skies, I had to take a pill this morning.
You had to take a pill? Eric, really?
Mean, I won't be able to get out of bed. If the pain's that bad.
Sure.
You know, I mean, not everyone is going to be able to get off pain. But
no, Eric, I got to tell you. Listen one second now. Here's the thing,
okay.
Eric. I was born and raised in Ireland. Gray skies every day. Sun, rare. Now, if I was to use an excuse of a gray sky to take a narcotic, I'd be high pretty much most days. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have pain, Eric. As I established in the first segment, a patient's pain is subjective, and their pain is their pain, and nobody can say you don't have pain. What I'm trying to get across this morning is this, is that there is no life without pain. There's always going to be a certain amount of pain. And what this horrible mess, this war and pain has created is this. We now understand that opiates are extremely addictive and worsen the problem and the quality of life of people who are taking them. So my strong advice to everybody listening is, if you are on chronic opiates, you need to get off them. Not quickly, not quickly. If you've been on them for years, you're not going to get off them in a day. They have got to be weaned. The worry for guys like me who work in the trenches is this. Now the feds have come in and said, you've all been naughty. We're going to control you. You can only prescribe this. Now that's a problem. Because all of a sudden now when I'm talking to my patients, I'm talking to Eric, I'm no longer just a comforter. I'm no longer just a healer. I'm an enforcer. I'm an enforcer. Now I say, well, listen, I can't prescribe this because the government won't let me. The feds won't let me. The DEA won't let me. The medical licensing board, they're coming after me and saying, hey, Chambers, what are you doing? And that's where we are in the war on pain. Now, I understand that with medical marijuana, that's kind of an oxymoron if you ask me. Anyhow, as Bill Maher joked on his show recently, he gets his medical marijuana because he has a third eye with glaucoma, which is pretty much my experience of it. But I don't want to go off on a tangent here about marijuana, and I'm glad that Eric has been able to cut down his dose. But everybody listening to me can cut down on their dose too. Everybody pretty much listening to me has alternatives to chronic pain than opiates. They have physical therapy. They have some psychological counseling. You can change the way you think about your pain. And that's a good thing. You don't have to. It's just how you perceive it. It's a bit like an insult. It's a bit like what somebody says to you. It's how you think about it. That you ruminate. You keep thinking about it and thinking about it. Now, don't get me wrong on this. If you break your leg, you have pain. If you have fibromyalgia, you have pain. If you have irritable bowel syndrome, you've got cramping, you've got discomfort, you've got issues. And think about it in more, even more everyday terms. Women, when they get their periods, some women have severe cramps, severe belly pain, and it's incapacitating, and other women don't. We all have different ways of looking at stuff. But what counseling, what psychotherapy can do is help you turn it around so you think about it differently. And your life will be better. Your life will be happier. And what guys like me who are working in the trenches, I think what we should do, what I'm doing is I don't prescribe OxyContin, Oxy. Way too addictive. Never prescribe it. So for the long time, we in our practice in urgent care have only been giving you a 3 to 7 day prescriptions for narcotics. And that's because we usually see people with fractured wrists or ankles or whatever. It's usually acute pain. And then for the people who have chronic pain who come in, and there's a lot of them, because their pain doctors are out of town all of a sudden. They're on vacation. They didn't allow. They didn't know. They couldn't get hold of him. He's got no phone. He's over in Antigua. There's no phone service. What you want from me? So then I go out and I get my assistant to call in, and I get the guy on the phone or the woman on the phone. And guess what? They're just down the road. They said, no, they were here earlier this morning and they're not due for the narcotics. So we've all seen that. But I don't want you to think of these new federal rules as being punitive, because I don't think they are. It's a wake-up call to you and to me, to everybody, that says, you know what? These drugs were oversold to us. Bad research, big advertising campaign by a pharmaceutical company called Purdue. And they, boy, did they aggressively sell Oxy. They really sold it big time. So it became a big-selling drug very, very rapidly. And even now, the pharma are coming out and they're saying, you know what? We need these super-duper narcotics to treat more pain. And we want to give them to kids. So you go like, have you learned nothing at this point? Well, they have. The pharmaceutical industry makes money by selling you drugs. The drug companies that manufacture hydrocodone or fentanyl or whatever it is, they make money by selling them to you. They don't make money by not selling them to you. So when you go to your doctor and she tells you, you know, we got to cut back on this. We got to try alternative methods to control your pain. Listen to her. She's looking out for you. She's caring for you. She's not trying to cause problems. She doesn't want you to be in pain. She wants you to be who you are. She wants you to be happy. That's what she wants. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind about your health. Doesn't have to be about narcotics. Doesn't have to be about pain. Whatever is on your mind about you or your family's health. 800-222-5222. When I come back, I want to talk about this vaccine type case that's going on in Canada. It's kind of the same thing about, do people believe or trust modern medicine? Are we doing something wrong again? 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue.
How you doing, caller?
Ugh, starving. I'm on a new diet. All I can see is food I can't have.
Have you considered AT&T?
For my diet?
Obviously. You can get unlimited talk, text, and data usage and your second month free when you make the switch to AT&T GoPhone. And your first 2 gigabytes are high speed.
Gigs you can bite?
No, but with no annual contract, you get a 4G LTE network that's worth feasting on.
Ooh, 4G. 4G BLT.
4G LTE. Plus, it's just $40 a month after a $5 auto refill discount.
It's a loaded buffet.
Yeah, and none of the calories.
Thanks for your help.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Get the second month free when you switch to AT&T Go Phone. In stores or at att.com/GoPhone.
Oh, I'm so full.
Have you been eating this whole time?
Limited time second month free offer requires a port in and eligible service. Exclude AT&T and Cricket customers. Go Phone account must have SIM card and must be funded within first 26 days of activation to be eligible. Free month equals value of monthly plan purchased at activation. After first 2 gigabytes, data speeds reduced up to 128 kilobytes per second. First month, $45. $5 discount applied to monthly rate plan charge upon enrollment and auto refill. Additional charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7500 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7500. That's 800-261-7500. 800-261-7500. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Your one stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. And on this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Now, this case caught my attention. I thought I'd share it with you because there's a lot of complex issues in it. And it's, let me start off with a simple premise. A young couple, David and Colette Stephen, up in rural Canada, very photogenic couple, good-looking woman, good-looking guy, beautiful children. And if you look at their pictures on Facebook, you say, like, wow. And then underneath there's some nasty comments like, baby killers, quit smiling, they're shouting at them. Quit smiling. And you go like, what's going on? And here's what happened. Their baby, Ezekiel, 15 months old, got sick. They didn't really seek medical attention because they believe in herbs. They believe in natural substances to treat the child. They're also against vaccines. So the baby wasn't vaccinated against meningitis or anything. So then the baby got sick and got sicker and got sicker. They took it to a naturopath, and guess what? The naturopath said, you should really take it to a doctor. Definitely. And they didn't. And then eventually they took it to a doctor when the baby had respiratory difficulties. And at that point, sadly, it was really way, way too late. Way, way, way too late. And the baby tragically died. Awful tragedy for a young couple. Nothing happened. Then a year later, some prosecutors got into it and they said, hey, we think that you were negligent. We think you did not provide the necessities of life to your baby. And we're taking you to court and we're going to charge you. And found guilty, you're both going to go to jail for 5 years. 5 years. Now, the family say they're bullying us, they're picking on us because we don't believe in vaccines. And when one of our kids gets sick, which could have been treated maybe possibly by a vaccine, which we don't believe in, they come after us because it's big pharma controlling everything. And you go, like, wow. Then you start looking into the case, and it turns out that the kid was sick for quite a bit of time. And one of their friends who was a nurse said to them, he needs to go to the hospital. And they didn't. They took him to the naturopath. Now, they couldn't put the kid into the back seat of the car because the kid was too stiff. The baby was too stiff at this point. Which is, boy, that kid was sick. So they put him lying on a mattress at the back of the car and took him to the naturopath. Now that, I have to say, is somewhat negligent. That, I have to say, is wrong. That, I have to say, is they didn't give the necessities of life to that kid. So that brings up the question, if you don't vaccinate your children, you don't look after them, are you guilty of a crime? And think about that. At what point do we say you are a criminal because you didn't treat your child the way we in society think you should? Now, some years ago, I watched a Jehovah's Witness basically bleed out to death. She was in a major car accident. She had a Jehovah's Witness card on her. Her family descended on the emergency room. Her pastor was there, and they all said, she is a card-carrying member of the Jehovah's Witness community. She does not want to be transfused. In fact, some of her nurses were Jehovah's Witnesses. So in the operating room, we use a thing called a cell saver, which means that when the blood is coming out of you, we pick it up and put it back into you. They wouldn't even let us do that. When she got back into the ICU where I was working, her hemoglobin was about 1.4. You need at least 10 to be viable. Anything below 6 is really critical. At 1.4, it's a medical emergency to get it in there. But we couldn't transfuse her. Now, I go to my grave saying that if that woman had woken up, if we could wake her up, she would have given us permission. But she wasn't. She was a card-carrying member, and we respected her wishes. We watched her die. Not an easy thing for a doctor, let me tell you. But that's what we did, because it was her right. Now, coming back to the Stevens in Canada, the baby, Ezekiel, he didn't have a choice. He was dependent on the parents. He was dependent on them to make decisions for them. He was dependent on them to recognize that he was really sick. And boy, they delayed. I have to say that part of me says, this is just cruel. They've already suffered. But part of me says, we've got to send out a message that when your baby is really sick, you have to seek medical attention. That's what you have to do. You don't have a choice. But as an adult, you don't want to be treated by me. You don't want to go to the emergency room. You don't want to have cancer treatment, whatever it is. That's your privilege. But if you have a child, you have to seek medical attention. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. If you disagree with my opinion on this or on opiates, whatever, you have a medical question, 800-222-5222. Let's talk to Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I was listening to what you were talking about
sure.
the chronic pain, and the person that you were speaking to was talking about, well, even on a cloudy day or something like that, I need to take a pill. I was kind of in a situation where he was saying where I need to just take medication because it hurts.
Mm-hmm. What hurts?
I've had back injury. I've had epilepsy all my life. I have grand mal seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work with developmentally disabled adults for quite a few years. I was attacked by one of my clients. It was not intentionally, of course, but it did give me a serious injury. So then it put me on a lot of medications, and it put me out of work. So mm-hmm. that put me into depression.
Sure.
It put in my life upside down.
Sure.
And then time went past. I was trying to get into work. Of course, nobody would hire me because of mm-hmm. my injuries. And so that caused more
problems.
Anyway, I did take a lower pain work, and I was trying to work. And then here comes heart disease now, and then fibromyalgia. So now I've got no more work again, and I've got more medications.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to fight not taking medications and having more pain.
Okay. So, Heidi, let me ask you this. What medication are you taking and what dose?
I was taking 3 different seizure medications. I was taking...
Okay, but what pain medications were you taking?
They had me on Norco.
Okay.
And then I was also taking topiramate.
Okay, that's an anti-epilepsy. But just let's focus on the pain meds. Apart from Norco, what were you taking?
I'm trying to remember. Okay, you have to take into consideration, too, that I've been through so much with seizures and all that.
Sure.
My memory is not
good. I understand, Heidi.
That part might not help you so much as far as remembering the names of...
Don't worry about it. See, here's what I'm trying to get at. And it's tough. I see people like Heidi. I see people like you, Heidi, in my practice all the time. So when the feds came out with this new stuff this week, they're not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to be cruel when I see people in my practice and I'm saying to them, I can't give you the oxy. I can't give you the Percocet. I can't give you the fentanyl because it's really ruining your life. We're not trying to be cruel. And we're not suggesting that you don't have pain. I'm not suggesting that these chronic problems that cause all these issues, but what we're saying to you is when we look at the global picture, we in the United States are consuming 80% of the world's opiates, and we only represent 5% of the world's population. And in 2014, we had 27,000 overdose deaths. That's about all the ones who go to ER and have other problems. This is a mess, and we need to dig ourselves out of it. It's a war on pain that we've lost. Again, when you start having wars on human nature, it never wins. Look at the war on drugs, a bigger mess. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers. I'm live and local here in the studio. More of your calls when I come back on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on Call will continue answering more of your questions.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, the one and only Mike Walker stops by.
Plus, let's not forget about Jack Abramoff and Roger Stone.
What are they doing?
Just kidding, Peter. Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
On Talk Radio 790 KBC.
That was beautiful. You brought tears to my eyes.
Dr. Yumin Fong on Cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating in the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. On this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. We can't even see your face. 800-222-5222. Now, every Saturday noon to 1 p.m., I'm here live and local on KABC. During the week, my home on the internet is drchambersoncall.com. There, you can see my latest videos, and this week we're premiering a new video called Kiss. It's fun. You'll learn a lot about kisses that you don't know, even if you think you're an expert, and guarantees to make you smile. On Twitter, you can follow me at Dr. JC on Call. That's DRJC on Call. And on Facebook, of course, I'm Dr. Chambers on Call. And if you swing by, hit like, let me know you were there. You can comment on today's show. You can make suggestions for today's show. If you missed part of the show and you want to catch up, we podcast it on my website, drchambersoncall.com, on Tuesdays. We also do little videos of the show so you can see what it's like in here as I'm trying to get it all together, handle the calls, talk out, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, let's take one more call. I'm going to talk to Eileen. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Doctor. I'm so glad to find you again.
Thank you.
I used to listen to you on another station. Anyway, my question is not about pain. I don't have any pain.
Good.
Thank goodness. But I do have high cholesterol.
Okay.
And I've been following this for quite a few years. I think about 4 years I have records on my – each year it goes up a bit.
Okay.
And my doctor is not in a rush to put me on statins,
okay.
And that's fine with me. She says, let's wait another 6 months and see how it goes. But I am concerned about it, and I try to...
Eileen, can I ask you why you're concerned about it?
Pardon me?
Why are you concerned about it?
I'm concerned about it because it's high. That is the total cholesterol is 257.
Okay.
And, however, my HDL is 121, and my triglycerides are good. They're 42. But my LDL has gone up down to 128. Anyway, that's the figures. But I do everything I know to do, following all the directions and the Mediterranean diet and walking and exercising and all of that, and I still don't bring it down. And I'm wondering, is this something that indicates I should take some medication?
No, I don't think it is. And here's why I don't think. What you have to understand, Eileen, is risk versus reward. And what we try to tell people is, you've got a risk factor, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the problem. Now, it appears to me that you're a little bit over 40 like I am, who isn't. And the thing is that you're doing everything right. You're exercising, you're walking, your figures aren't too bad. And for those of you who are familiar with figures, the LDL was probably the 121 and the HDL is probably 42. Because the HDL is the good cholesterol. That's the one you want to be high. And the way to remember that is H. H for high. That's good because that protects your heart, doesn't make your heart really bad. Now, the other thing that you have to understand, Eileen, and this is pretty new, is that it appears now, what we've been saying for decades, that the food you eat and the fat in it is going to clog your arteries. We now think that's not true. So I tend to tell people to eat eggs and shrimp and all those other kind of things. And you can check out my website, drchambersoncall.com, because I've got a video there about fat and what McGranny versus Harvard and how this has all changed. It's a fun little video, but you'll find it informative, Eileen, or anybody else that's listening that's worried about cholesterol, that's worried about fat. But in Eileen's case, her doc not jumping on the statins bandwagon, I think is a really good idea. Ron?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, I heard you talking about opiates, and I've been through many surgeries. I just finished number 15 last night, and I've never...
15 surgeries, Ron? For what?
I've had 7 knee surgeries plus a replacement. I've had 2 major reconstruction of the shoulders. Tommy John on the left elbow had a reconstructed right foot. I fractured C3 and injured 4 and 5 playing football.
Okay.
But I've been given pills all my life.
Okay.
And I've never got hooked on them. I don't find a high out of them. I've given pills. November, I had another surgery. And they said, well, we'll give you morphine. Keep it. It doesn't do anything. I don't get high off the pills.
Wow.
And I don't see how these kids can say they're getting high off of OxyContin. It's not like 10 years ago when you had a painkiller.
Yeah.
You did its job.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, you're off them. Today, those painkillers don't do crud.
Well,
because after a while, you're pain threshold is higher than the medication they can give you.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter how many you take, it is not going to do a bit of good.
Well, you see, there's a number of things that Ron is hitting on here that I want all of you to understand. The first one is this. There's a phenomenon called tachyphylaxis, which means that if I take, say, 5 milligrams of Norco today and I keep taking that every day for my pain, after a while it won't work. I've got to go to 7.5, then 10, and then goes on and on. So the amount that you need keeps going up. That's the first thing. The second thing that we now understand about these opiates is this, that people metabolize them differently. And 20% of the population, guess what? They're not effective to them. They're useless. They don't treat their pain or they require very big doses. And there's 2% of the population who, if you give them a small dose, will end up in a coma. We don't know who those people are. There's a new phenomenon now called pharmacogenomics, which does this. It tests your genes and says, you're one of these people that's a slow metabolizer or intermediate, and you're one of these people that's going to have a problem with Norco, so a small amount will kill you, or you want to have one of these people who's going to need more of it to treat your pain. And this is a fairly new thing. And it's expensive. The test can be $500 to $2,000. So I haven't done it for myself, haven't done it for my family. It's not quite ready for prime time, but Ron is hitting on that. The other thing that Ron hit on is that I want to make clear is that when OxyContin came out first on the market, it had a certain formulation. And that formulation could be tweaked so that you get a big high. There was so much hue and cry from the medical world, from guys like me saying, what are you doing? You got to change this formulation so this will stop them getting high. And they did. So it's not as easy to get a high from them. So whether you're addicted or not to these pills is very complicated. And part of it is your genetic history. Part of it is your family history. Look, I'm Irish. And I can recognize an alcoholic from a mile away because some people in Ireland and some people throughout the world have this tendency that if they drink, they can't have two or three. They have to have 10. They have to have 20. And it's the same if you have an addictive personality. If it runs in your family and you're taking Norco, you know? Remember what this Dr. Portnoy did. He just studied 38 patients. He's the original guy that said to doctors like me, because I was in training at that time, you're being negligent if you don't treat the pain. You're ignoring the fifth vital sign. And look at my study. I looked at 38 people with chronic pain, treated them, and they didn't get addicted. So we all went off of this bandwagon, and guess what happened? Guess what happened? We've had thousands of deaths of overdoses. We have a zillion addicts out there. We have people who can't get enough prescription narcotics that go on to street drugs. And this is not happening in high-density places like Chicago. Partly it is. L.A. It's happening in rural places. Alabama, Arkansas, all of these places. It's a nationwide problem. That's why the feds have come out this week and said, you doctors have to limit what you're prescribing. And the fear for me, Ron, for all of you listening, is that some people will suffer from this. Now, the feds have excluded people who are post-op, who've had surgery. They're going to get their narcotics the way they traditionally did. And people with terminal cancer. Obviously, you're not going to be worried about addiction in that setting. The other concern is that if you think somebody has bad cancer, you treat it, and then they get a reprieve, what are you going to do with their narcotics at that point? Will they be addicted? So this is not an easy thing. But what you have to ask yourself is, how does the rest of the world function every day, and they don't have all these narcotics? Canada uses a lot less than we do. The UK does. Germany does. India has a fraction of the consumption of narcotics that we do. We're 5% of the world's population, and we're using 80% of the produced narcotics in the world. That's a problem, and that will erode our society. That will destroy our society. And that's why guys like me who are in the trenches, who are acute care physicians, have to pull back a little bit and say, ah, we can't do this. One of the reasons that we caught on to what was happening was in the treatment of chronic back pain for workers' comp. What they found was people who came in with workers' comp back pain, if they were treated with narcotics, were not in work 3 months later, and a lot of them became addicted. This was so obvious, not to the doctors involved, but to a new head of the insurance when he's looking at all the claims. He went, oh, my God, what are we doing? What are we doing? I only have 2 minutes left. I don't have time to take all of your calls. I'll take whatever's left. I'll take off the air when we get out here. I want to say this to you, though. There's another story that broke about Californians this week that is very important that I want to get across to you. And it's the sugar storm that's brewing that's going to envelop us worse than any El Nino ever did. And the sugar storm is this. UCLA issued these statistics, and they're scary. 55% of Californians, that's over 1 in 2, a majority of us Californians, are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. That's a fact. And you go like, ugh, what can we do about it? Bad food, genes, and our environment. The food that they're spending billions of dollars to get us to eat is actually killing us. So what I want you to take home from this is, if you think you might be diabetic, get yourself screened. Fasting blood sugar is the best way to go. If you are diagnosed as pre-diabetic, you don't have to become a diabetic. You can adjust your diet and exercise and prevent it. This is a human tragedy coming down the pipeline. We can see it in the trenches. What we need to do is get you to understand that you're at risk. We need you to understand that you must correct this. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. I'll be back next Saturday, noon to 1 p.m. Follow me on my website, drchambersoncall.com, Twitter, @drjconcall. That's Dr. JC on call. Facebook, Dr. Chambers on call. I'm out here, back live and local next Saturday, noon to 1 p.m. This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and or treatment. Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
This show furnished by City of Hope.